Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. This is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He's Elijah." Still others, "He's a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her, saying, "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his oath to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl, who in turn gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Got to the climax of this 4-week biennial course of the Letter to the Hebrews, which shows us how to live the Christian life, a couple of days ago, in which it said, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these heroes who have persevered with holy hupomone, this rugged endurance until the end. And they're cheering us on so that we might keep our eyes fixed on Christ and sever the chains that hold us back so that we might persevere in running the race. To keep our eyes fixed on Christ, the perfecter and leader of our faith, the Father's definitive message and messenger, the one who through his obedience learned suffering in order to lead us together with him through suffering to heavenly glory. To keep our eyes fixed on Christ, who the Letter to the Hebrews tells us today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ who isn't changing. Christ whose word endures. Christ who continues to act in time to save us. Christ whose vocation to us to follow him all the way to sanctity is as relevant today as ever. This keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and always, is key for us to be able to wade through different times in which the devil wants to tempt us to say things are changed. Today, one of the areas in which that is, in which the devil is wreaking a lot of havoc in the churches with regard to marriage. Especially marriages, one man and one woman for the rest of their lives really open to life. There are many even inside the church who think that this is, by definition, heroic. And sometimes it may be heroic. But because it's heroic, God couldn't possibly be calling us to that type of standard. It's important for us to grasp that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and always. What he said, with extraordinary mercy, with regard to the indissolubility of marriage, and to divorcing one and marrying another. This isn't a weapon we're supposed to use against people, but a weapon to sever the ways that the devil tries to tempt people in every age, to try to corrupt our faithful love, because we've been made in the image and likeness of God, who is love. And if we can corrupt the expression of love among human beings, we can hinder their capacity to keep their eyes fixed on Christ always in his true face. Today in the gospel reading, we see St. John the Baptist say to King Herod quite clearly, "It is not lawful, it's not according to God, for you to marry your sister-in-law, who happens likewise to be your niece." Wasn't lawful. Wasn't lawful for her to leave Philip because she thought she'd get a better deal and a better ride with Herod. Wasn't lawful. John the Baptist by this point had figured out who Herod was and that these words were probably not going to tickle his ears. But he gave that word, that blade of conversion, in order to try to sever what the devil was doing in Herod's heart. He was likewise trying to do it for the sake of Herodias. But Herodias didn't get that message, and we know what happened. At a birthday party, after she pimped her own daughter to dance in front of all the drunken courtiers, when Herod swore a silly oath to give her whatever she asked, imagine if she would have said, "I want your head on a platter. I want you to execute all of these people right here." Stupid, silly, drunken oath. She came back in and her mother was seeking her revenge. And in the middle of a birthday party, and when we really put ourselves in that scene, how grotesque and shocking it is. In the middle of a birthday party, when they should have been singing "Happy Birthday to You" and bringing in a cake, they brought in a head on a platter. How disgusting. But in a sense, a tremendous witness of the precursor of the Lord. He was a precursor to Jesus, not just in the womb. He's a precursor to Jesus, not just at the Jordan River, using those words to repent, that Jesus himself would echo at the beginning of his public ministry. Wasn't just a precursor to Jesus in martyrdom, but he pointed to Jesus as the great bridegroom to prepare the way for him so that we, his bride, might be capable of faithful love. And the teaching about marriage that comes from God is meant precisely to reflect the type of indissoluble, fruitful, and faithful love Christ the bridegroom has for us as bride that we're supposed to receive and reciprocate. So John the Baptist was pointing to our fidelity toward God here, just as he was pointing toward the fidelity that must exist in any true marriage bond. The letter to the Hebrews in the 13th chapter begins to apply what it means to keep our eyes fixed on Christ in lots of different moral circumstances with which the letter concludes. Let brotherly love continue, because when we care for another, we're supposed to keep our eyes fixed on Christ in the other, especially when he's hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or in prison or ill. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. That every time we receive a guest, we're receiving Christ in the person of that guest, but we need to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment. As we remember, Christ himself was imprisoned. And here we get. Let marriage be honored above all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge the immoral and the adulterers. It's a tremendous gift of mercy when we teach clearly, because we're keeping our eyes fixed on Christ, even in the bedroom. That is not a God-free zone where lust reigns, but Christ-like love needs to reign there. And the real essence of the redemption that Christ tried to bring was to restore our vision, so that we would be able to be pure in heart and see God in others. Just like in the beginning before the fall, Adam and Eve were able to look at each other without shame because they were able to see the image of God in the other, the image of the giver, and find that giver in that mutual self-gift. Let your life be free of love of money. Wasn't it Christ, if we keep our eyes fixed on him, who said to us, don't worry about what you eat, wear, drink, where your house will be, what clothes you'll have, and what you'll eat and drink. It's the pagans who worry about these things, and your Heavenly Father knows you need them. Instead, be poor in spirit, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, etc., and come follow me. The same Christ who says, beware of all greed. We can't be saying we've got our eyes fixed on Christ when we're being corrupted by a love of money. And then it concludes, remember your leaders who spoke the words of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. These were the ones who show us how to keep our eyes fixed on Christ in every circumstance. These are the ones who have passed on not just their own words, but God's words. Consider the outcome of their way of life, that after all the suffering, they're with God forever. And imitate their holy, persevering faith. Today we do so with John the Baptist. We remember how he spoke the word of God to us. We consider his now being in heaven with God, and we seek to imitate his faith. Today we likewise remember Saint Blaise, who himself spoke the words of God throughout. Today, Armenia, but at that point ancient Turkey, trying to bring the people to the true faith at a time in which there was confusion about Christ's divinity in the days before the full-flowed Arian heresy would rear its ugly head. On the way to his death, a mother brought a boy who was choking on a bone. And it was through St. Blaise's blessing that the boy was healed. And the church ever since has been invoking St. Blaise, not just as a patron against maladies of the throat, but as you'll hear in the prayer at the end of Mass, every other illness. We turn to this one who kept his eyes fixed on the Lord. We ask him, as he keeps those eyes fixed forever on Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and always, to pray for every person we know who is ill, and to pray for us to be healed of every illness. But there's a particular aspect of blessing the throat. We use our throat to speak. If we had serious throat injuries, not only would we be choking, but we wouldn't be able to praise God and testify to others. Today, as we receive this blessing of God through St. Blaise's intercession, we can in a particular way ask him to take whatever hindrances there are in our throats, dead bones sometimes, so that we, like St. John the Baptist, maybe with a slightly different tone, proclaim the same truth. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Let us ask God for the grace to do just that as we prepare to receive within us today that Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.